If you're looking for a show on difficult relationships, we don't have those, do we? We have difficult relationships in our life. Some of them are even emotionally abusive. If you're searching for something like that, head over to loveandabuse.com and check out my podcast, Love and Abuse.
Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I want to help you increase your emotional intelligence, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and give you the tools to show up as your authentic self. Everything on this show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. So glad to have you here. Glad that you took the time to turn me on. Don't take that the wrong way. I mean the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is a clean show. Don't worry about that. I'm very happy you're here. I'm going to talk about, at least in this first segment, emotional infidelity, or what some people call an emotional affair. And this, I think, stretches beyond romantic relationships. My perspective of an emotional affair is when the person that you have a relationship with, typically a romantic relationship with, but somebody that you have an emotional connection to, feels betrayed by your behavior, in the sense that you take that emotional connection that they feel you're supposed to have with them and you share those same emotions with someone else. This doesn't often happen in regular friendships. I can share my happy bonding type friendship emotions with my first friend and my second friend and that friend over there, and my friends won't necessarily get offended or feel betrayed. They'll feel betrayed if perhaps they're attached to me or obsessed with me, or they feel like they're dependent on me or something like that. They may feel that way. But there are people, you know, family, like I've heard from maybe a person that has two sisters, and they feel that one of those sisters they have a really strong bond with. But then one day her sister shares more information with the other sister and not her, you know, if you have three sisters in the scenario like this. And now that person feels like the information that was shared to the other sister, why wasn't it shared with me too? Or why wasn't it shared with me alone? I thought we shared everything. And so this sense of betrayal can come over a person, can come over you, can come over anyone that has a special type of relationship where certain information is shared between you two. You feel safe, you feel trusting and trusted by this person, and you feel like you can share anything with this person and they'll share anything with you. So when that doesn't happen and they share with somebody else, those same emotions, those same thoughts, or similar type of thoughts, like when someone's talking about their relationship with you all the time and then they don't necessarily tell you everything, they tell somebody else about their relationship, you feel excluded. This is what I mean by emotional infidelity. Sometimes it has to do with our dependencies, our attachments. We want this person to only share with us. We feel special knowing that they trust us to share that information with. But then they have other people in their life that they might share the same type of information. And then if you feel like that special bond has been broken, there might be something inside of you that was dependent on that bond to fulfill you in some way. And I'm mainly talking about non-romantic connections. Because I think it's fair to say that if you feel betrayed on an emotional level when you're in a non-romantic relationship, that you probably had a stronger bond or at least you believed you had a stronger bond that made you think that you were the go-to person. And when that person goes to another person and shares some personal information, you might feel left out. I think when it comes to non-romantic relationships, if you feel left out, the typical response is, oh, it must have been something I did. I must have caused them to do that. Or I must have done something or said something that made them feel not so trusting toward me. I think when that happens, it's better to be open about it. It's better to be clear with them, because if you've had a strong bond with somebody, a trusting relationship, a relationship where you feel safe to share everything with them, and then they share something that's important to them that they would normally share with you with somebody else, I think it's okay to be clear and say, hey, you know, why didn't you share that with me? We share everything. What's going on? And see what they say. Now, it may be nothing. They may just say, oh, yeah, yeah, I was going to tell you. It was just, you know, something that happened and that person was convenient and I wanted to get it off my chest and it would be no big deal. Or they could say, what? Well, you know, I'll share some things with you, but I don't share everything with you. And that might feel personal. That might feel like an attack. But I may also reverse my suggestion about being clear and honest with the person and just come back to myself and say, you know, they have a choice about who they share information with and who they spend their time with. And I'm certainly not the only person in the world. So I shouldn't take this personally. In fact, that is my go-to. I think it's great when you have good communication with somebody where you can just say, hey, what's going on? You usually tell me this stuff. What's happening? You know, you're friends, you can talk about it. But if it comes from a needy place, like if you feel this neediness, this almost desperate feeling that you've been betrayed or left out, that's when it's important to understand that maybe that neediness was coming out in other ways. Now, it does feel like I'm trying to shift a blame on someone who's needy or feels betrayed. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just asking you to understand and reflect on what you put out there. Because there's a big difference, in my opinion, there's a big difference. Let's just say if you have a family connection or a friendship, there's a big difference between wanting to spend time with them because you enjoy it and wanting to spend time with them because you need it. And this is a very thin ice area that I want to be careful going over, because if you spend time with somebody because you need it and you long for that time together when they're not around, again, this is non-romantic. If you're longing for that time together, then there may be some gaps in your own life, something that you need to fulfill in your own life so that you don't have that needy, desperate energy in someone else's life. And I talk about this when it comes to people-pleasing. If you're a people-pleaser, if you're a fixer, if you're a rescuer, you're someone that wants to get their hands dirty in a good way. You want to help. You want to make that person's life easier. You want to make it better. There sometimes comes with it a neediness, a desperation that can be felt by them. And what ends up happening is that some people are repelled by that energy. Again, this is very thin ice because I don't want to make you feel wrong if you do this. I don't want to blame you for this. This isn't about blame or being wrong. It's about awareness. It's about self-awareness and self-observation and understanding who you are and how you show up. Because no one's really wrong in how they show up, but a lot of people aren't aware of how they show up. Some people do show up as the people pleaser. I can talk about this all day long because that was me for a good 30 plus years of my life. And when I showed up that way, there was a neediness in me. There felt that desperate feeling to want other people to like me. There was a desperation in there, wanting to be needed, wanting to be loved, not wanting to be alone. And I believed that by getting my hands dirty in a good way, getting involved in things, trying to help, stepping in when I wasn't asked to step in, just to try to make that person's life easier or better, a lot of people were repelled by that, and some weren't. Some weren't because I hid my neediness well. I was very good at hiding my desperate feelings and making sure that they didn't see me as dysfunctional or something. Again, not calling you dysfunctional, I'm just saying I look back in my own past, and now that I've healed from a lot of the stuff that I've gone through, I can see some of the dysfunctions I had. Dysfunction isn't even a bad word. Dysfunction to me is when you don't function the healthiest way you can function, meaning sometimes there's a better way to show up in the world and you don't know it. And you believe you're doing the best you can. And that's something I've learned. We all do the best we can from having experienced what we've experienced, building the tools that we've had, taking those tools that we've built, that we've collected over the years, even the ones that don't work well, and bringing them into every scenario and situation in our lives. And sometimes it doesn't create the most healthy situation. So I see any type of dysfunction as something that you haven't learned to make more functional, more healthy, and certainly less toxic if it's toxic. Not all dysfunctions are toxic, but a lot of toxic behaviors are dysfunctional. So when we're in a situation and we don't have the right tools, we end up doing things that might be repelling to other people. And nobody wants that. We don't want people to be repelled by us. Well, a lot of us don't. If we are experiencing some social anxiety, we might want people to be repelled by us. Just stay away. Don't come near me. Don't look at me. Don't think about me. Don't judge me. I don't want to deal with it. That can be nice for someone experiencing that. But I think for the most part that most people don't want to go around repelling others. And this is why it's important to be self-aware of our dysfunctions. It is important for you to be self-aware of what you do, and also be okay identifying your dysfunctions. One of the biggest healing steps I've ever taken in my life is to look at my behavior and say, you know, when I do that behavior, I get results I don't like, but I do that behavior because I think it's going to help me in my life. It's going to make my life better. But then I look at my results and I realize, oh, it's not like making my life better, it's making it worse. Because even though I might be, let's just say, happy in the moment, I get a quick high from people pleasing, it also comes with it burnout. I'm also getting burnt out trying to please people and trying to do the right thing and getting involved in things I don't want to get involved in and saying yes too much and making decisions that aren't working out not only for me but for those other people as well. Because you can create self-sabotage by setting other people up to have certain expectations about you. And what I mean by that is I spent a lot of my life setting people up to have certain expectations about me, showing up in a way that was always agreeable, always saying yes, whether I wanted to say yes or not, and just doing what they wanted me to do, because they just assumed I would do it, and they just assumed it made me happy. But it didn't. It caused me to feel resentful. It caused me to get burnt out, mainly because I thought, why don't they see that I'm suffering? That may not have been my exact wording, but that's what I thought. It's like, I'm saying yes, but I don't really want to do it, so why don't you see that I'm suffering here? Why don't you see that when I say yes, I really mean no? Why don't you see this, and why don't you say, hey, no, you don't have to do that. Don't worry about it. Which, of course, I would respond, oh, no, it's no problem. And then, of course, when you do that, if you really don't want to do it, yet you don't want to look like the bad guy, it puts more fuel on the fire. And then they say, oh, well, okay, if you want to do it. And then, of course, I think of my own past, and I think, well, don't you see that I have something going on that weekend? I just told you I wanted to spend time with so-and-so, and now you're asking me to work the weekend? Don't you see that? Why don't you tell me that it's okay that I don't work this weekend? I'm putting my future in their hands by not being clear and setting myself up for self-sabotage. When you do this, you set yourself up for disappointment. You set yourself up for failed relationships. You keep setting yourself up because it's a dysfunction. And this is what I mean by looking at what you do, your behaviors, and being self-aware of your own dysfunctions. And this is how I identify dysfunctions, is what results am I getting? Am I constantly on a good path, feeling good about my decisions, feeling good about my relationships, feeling satisfied or happy inside, and they are happy as well, or at least as good as they can be, and it just feels good all around? Or are there pockets of feeling bad or deep wells where somebody feels bad, and especially me, because I am creating scenarios where I'm going to be unhappy, I'm going to be dissatisfied, and if I keep doing it over and over again, then my life is generally unwell. I'm in a state of general unwell being. And being in that state doesn't feel very good. So this is where you look at the behaviors you do in life, and even behaviors that you've done all your life that you don't even realize might have dysfunctional elements or might be completely dysfunctional, and ask yourself, what can I do differently? And this really comes back to the question that I've asked before. If you've never heard this show, this is the question right here. If I had no fear of the consequences, what would I do or say then? This question can solve about 90% of dysfunctions, maybe 98% of dysfunctions. For the most part, I'm not talking about somebody who actually wants to commit crimes and hurt people. I mean, if there were no consequences, I'm going to hurt this person. Yeah, that might not go well. I'm talking about when you have fear-based responses. If you have mostly fear-based responses, like, if I don't do this, I won't be liked, so therefore I'll do it, then the question, what would I do or say if I had absolutely no fear of the consequences, what answer do you get? And when you decide to move in that direction, you are in alignment with the highest purpose that you have for yourself. In other words, if you want to be happier and more satisfied and more fulfilled in life, that is more likely to make you feel that life has purpose, that life has meaning. And when you make decisions out of fear, you're less likely to move in the direction that is in alignment with what you really want. When you move in a direction where fear is not even in the equation, what would I do or say if I had absolutely no fear of the consequences, and you actually do or say those things, then you end up in alignment with who you really want to be. It's kind of like it could be a spiritual thing, a higher self. You want to step into the place that you feel you are inside, instead of showing people what you believe they want to see. Again, it doesn't mean it works for every single thing in life, but usually with fear-based decision-making, it works. I mean, this is exactly what I did when I was working for a company in late 2000s, and the boss was putting people down and making them feel small, and it was a big office meeting, and I just asked myself that question, you know, if I had no fear, what would I say when he calls on me? What would I say then? And he called on me, and I said what I was thinking. I said, in so many words, if we do what you say, you'll stop yelling at us. It was actually more specific than that. But in general, that's what happened, and that's how it felt, is that I was basically saying, you're yelling at us, and if I do what you say, you'll stop yelling at us. So that's why I'm going to do what you say. And it was a smart alecky reply, and the whole room went silent. But that's what came out of my mind and came out of my mouth when I asked myself the question, what would I say if I had absolutely no fear? Because fear was driving my response before that moment. I was going to respond like everyone else was responding. They were responding from a place of fear, or at least some of them I could tell, and they didn't want to lose their job. They didn't want to make the boss mad, and they didn't want to cause waves. And I thought, I don't want to walk around like this in life. I don't want to carry this fear with me that I can't make decisions that are right for me, that I have to make decisions based on the fear that other people make me feel. the fear that I have of other people's reactions or comments or behaviors. I don't want to live life like that. That was one of the first moments I realized that stepping into my power involved taking fear out of the equation. That's what I did. I took fear out of the equation and I just asked myself that question, what would I do if there were no fear? This is what I would do. This is what I would say. And when I did that, I was suddenly in alignment with who I really wanted to be. If you feel like there's no meaning in life, if you feel like there's no purpose in life, this is one of the steps into purpose. When you honor yourself, when you align with what you really want, when you make yourself a priority and let the cards fall where they may, when you make a decision for yourself, assuming things aren't working out for you now, you'll find that things will work out for you almost always. And I say almost because, of course, someone's going to throw me an exception. They're going to say, I tried that, Paul. I went in with no fear and I said exactly what I wanted to say. I got fired and I couldn't afford my mortgage anymore. My wife or my husband left me. I mean, they're going to give me that story and it's going to be true. And I'm going to say, yes, there are risks. I mean, I would be much more sympathetic, but I'm going to say, yes, there are absolutely risks to doing this. And you honored you. That was who you were, and that is who you are. You stepped into alignment with who you wanted to be in that moment, and you did it. And when people aren't in alignment with you, they will fall out of alignment with you. That's a little redundant, but it's meaningful when you think about it. If somebody's not in alignment with you, at your deepest self, your highest self, however you want to look at it, then when you step into that deepest, highest self and you speak from that place, from your heart, from your soul, from the deepest part of you, and other people don't like what you're saying or aren't there with you, they're probably not in alignment with you anyway. They're probably somebody that you showed up for in a different way, and now you're showing them your true self. You were showing them somebody else before, but now you're showing them your true self. And if people don't stick around when you show your true self, those probably aren't the right people for you. And that's kind of a hard pill to swallow because this might be someone you care about and you thought they cared about you. And it might be a great relationship. It might be a great situation. And then suddenly the relationship or the situation changes. And now what do you got? Well, the first thing you have is knowledge that the people or the situation that you were in wasn't meant to work out anyway. In fact, you were probably experiencing struggle or conflict or resistance in different ways, and you wondered why this was so difficult. A lot of things in life are difficult because we are not showing up as that deepest version of ourselves. If you're not showing up as the deepest, highest, most connected version of you, then you will have struggle, you will have stress, you will have resistance. And that resistance is almost always caused by not showing up as who you really want to be. Again, the word almost applies, there are always exceptions. But I've tried this over and over again. I've asked myself that question, if I had no fear, what would I do or say then? And I just went for it. Because I wanted to find out if all my fears were unjustified. And they were. All my fears were unjustified. Oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. I better not say anything. And I had that fear in every career that I started and finished. I always had that fear, like I'm going to get fired. I'm going to lose money. They're going to hate me. I'm not going to get a promotion. So I had all these fears running through me. But what ended up happening was when I started honoring myself and saying what I really felt at my deepest, highest place inside of me, the opposite of what I expected occurred. I expected to be yelled at. I expected to be fired. I expected people to break up with me. But when I showed up as the opposite of the way I usually show up, the place I used to be in fear, what I ended up getting was better results. I was in alignment with who I am at the deepest level. Some people weren't in alignment with that, but almost Actually, every single time I aligned with who I really was at that deepest, highest level, my life only got better and less stressful, less conflict, less resistance, because the people that were in alignment with me, we were now synchronized. And the people that weren't in alignment with me, all the stress and resistance and struggle with them disappeared because they disappeared. Again, that sounds like a scary concept. It is risky. You may lose people and you may lose jobs and you may lose relationships by honoring your deepest, highest self. But what ends up happening is that you gain so much more because you feel so good, so comfortable in your own skin. I'm going to wrap this up in the next segment, but I want to talk about an email that I received as well that has everything to do with what I'm talking about today. I'll be right back after this. Today's sponsor is BetterHelp Online Therapy, and I am so grateful for their service because they offer something that goes beyond just listening to someone on a podcast. They go beyond because they help you interactively. They go back and forth with you. They listen to you and help you get into a better space, help you feel better. That's why they call themselves BetterHelp. They help you, and they're good at it. And the reason they're good at it is because you have your choice of any licensed professional counselor in their network. But what they do is they match you up with someone that works for you. And, you know, you can choose anyone you want, but they'll give you the best match. Then you can start communicating in under 48 hours. So imagine that. You sign up for the service and in under 2 days, you have your first appointment and you don't even have to leave the comfort of your home or your car or wherever you are. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and they give you all kinds of options to use, like video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so that you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. They help you deal with anything from depression, stress, anxiety, relationship issues. We live in a world of relationships. Everyone probably has some relationship issue with somebody, and if you don't, you're probably not talking to them anymore. If you have relationship issues that are current and you're not sure how to deal with them and you just need some one-on-one advice, BetterHelp may be the solution for you. So check them out. Go over to betterhelp.com/brain. That's BetterHelp, the word better and help together, BetterHelp.com/brain. When you go to that web address, you'll get 10% off your first month. Again, BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/brain. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. So to wrap this up, I started talking about emotional infidelity in the beginning and how do they get way off topic. It's not off topic at all. In fact, it wraps up nicely together. Not that I want to use the term nice with infidelity, but you know what I mean? There's a fit. And the fit is when you're clear with who you are and what you want, then emotional infidelity never has to take place. Because what ends up happening is that when you're, let's just say, in a romantic relationship and you're not having the best time, there's a conflict, there's a struggle, there's resistance. When you're not having the best time, you might have the thought that it might be easier to get your emotional needs met from somebody else. Now, this is what we have friends for. We can have friends, and that's great, and we can connect with those friends and share and vent and do all that stuff. But the emotional part, the emotional infidelity part comes when you're not being as honest as you maybe should be with the person that you're with. For example, I told my girlfriend, you know, I'll never feel the need to cheat on you because I would tell you that I feel the need to cheat on you. I didn't use those words. And this isn't exactly how the conversation went. So don't think I'm just cold and heartless. We talk about everything. And one of the things that came up was trust. Can you trust the person you're with? Can you trust them not to cheat on you? Can you trust them to tell you everything, or at least be somewhat transparent, so you're not playing mind games, you're not playing guessing games. And I said, you'll never be surprised by me suddenly leaving you, or suddenly cheating on you, or suddenly doing anything like having an emotional affair. You'll never be surprised by that, because I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel and what's going on in my head so that it never reaches that level. And this is how a relationship can survive and have the longevity that you sometimes want in relationships, depending on the relationship, but sometimes you want to last a long time. It's because when you're honest, when you just say something that you might fear saying because you're afraid of the truth or you're afraid of the consequences, you might be afraid to say something because you don't want to face, I don't know, the wrath of their response or their overreaction or any reaction, because you just don't want to deal with it. So you take your emotional needs and your energy to someone else, or even your physical needs and your energy to someone else, instead of actually addressing the problems head on. And to clear that up, what I just said, I told my girlfriend, if I ever feel that we're not intimate enough, or there's not enough romance, or we're not connecting anymore, I feel unhappy, you're going to know about it. That's what I told her. I said, you're going to know about it. You're going to know how I feel. And the reason is because I don't want it to go down a road that leads to everything I just talked about. I don't want it to lead to that, because if I'm just doing that out of the blue, then we didn't have the conversation that we needed to have. If I felt like we weren't being intimate enough, I'm going to have that conversation. I'm going to try to resolve it. Can we be more intimate might be the question. Or maybe she'll say, well, of course we're not being intimate, because all we do is sit down and watch TV. Do you think I'm going to feel romantic if all we do is sit down and watch TV? Never thought of it that way. That's a good point. Or, of course we're not being intimate because I work 12 hours a day and I don't get a break. Okay, that makes sense. And then I'll start thinking, you know, this is sort of a made-up scenario and sort of true. I'll start thinking, what can I do to make her day better? What can I do to make her life easier? What can I do to show her that I care about her way before we become intimate? I want her to know that she is special in my life. And if I'm not showing her that, of course she's probably not going to want intimacy. She's probably not feeling it because I'm not showing it in any other way, if you're reading between the lines there. So the point is, you have these hard conversations. You are honest. You might have to take the risks to find out if they're in alignment with you by being in alignment with yourself. And all that means is you might say something like, this is what I want in my life, and I want you to be a part of it. And this is what I hope that we can do together, and this is where I hope we're going. And when they stick around and they want the same thing, now you have alignment, and now you've put everything on the table and you're talking about it. And yes, it's scary, but we do it anyway because we have no fear of the consequences. I know, easier said than done, but that's the plan, so we do the best we can. But it shouldn't lead to any type of betrayal of trust or emotional infidelity, physical infidelity. It shouldn't lead to any of that, because it would already have been talked about. And this is the kind of stuff we never talk about. We never talk about our feelings that are starting to change. Are we actually going to go up to somebody that we're supposed to be in love with and say, look, I'm not feeling love for you anymore? What? You're going to have that conversation? I think it's important, but you should also have the conversation way before it gets to that point. And that's kind of what I talk about over at Love and Abuse, is that when the emotionally abusive relationship starts, it's usually good. It's good for both people. But when the abusive or hurtful behavior starts, it tends to get overlooked or discounted or dismissed, or the person thinks that maybe there was a misunderstanding, so they moved past it. But then another hurtful thing happens, and another hurtful thing happens. And unless you've had a serious conversation where you say, look, this stuff can't keep happening, this has to stop, that's a risky conversation, because it feels like if we say that, there's going to be confrontation. And if we confront somebody, what does that mean? It often means being in alignment with yourself. And when you do that, you learn faster what is going to happen in the relationship. You learn how the relationship is going to go from that point on. You get to learn exactly what they want in the relationship too, because you're either going to get the response of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was doing that, I'll stop doing that. Or, oh, I didn't know that behavior caused you to feel that way, I definitely don't want you to feel that way, let's work this out. Or, what's your problem? You know, you're the problem, not me. You might get that response too, and maybe that means you're not in alignment at all. So let me get to this email that I mentioned earlier. I'm just going to read you a portion of it because it's a little bit long. So there's one part of it that is relevant to what we're talking about. The person said they were married very young, I think he said to his high school sweetheart, and they've been married for a number of years, and their romance seemed to take a turn after their child was born. And he also felt not very supported by his wife, and every problem they had, she always blamed him. And he says that she was lazy, and I was basically in charge of everything with my children for a lot of years with minimal assistance from her. But they've been trying to identify their differences and repair the relationship. And he's been listening to episodes of the show, and he feels like he's starting to grasp the concepts of being open to her insights and opinions on their marriage, as well as being authentic about the feelings they have. And he believes they're getting closer and starting to fall in love again. So he writes, as I'm typing this email, I am optimistic about our relationship and feel as though we are closer to getting on an even playing field where we can hopefully repair our marriage. But here's the issue I've been dealing with. Sometime about a year ago, I met another girl online and we became the closest of friends within a matter of weeks. She doesn't live nearby, so there's little chance that we would ever meet in real life. She's funny, interesting, and shares a lot of interests that I have. Our friendship quickly spiraled into a very close friendship where we began talking to each other outside of the internet and exchanged personal contact info. I didn't get into the friendship with any expectations of dishonoring my wife nor creating any type of relationship more than just being friends. Actually, as I look back on how things unfolded, I was just confused about what I was feeling and experiencing regarding my new friendship. It literally felt like she was some type of soulmate, and she gave me the best feelings I ever experienced from another human being in my life. It didn't take long. Pretty soon, we were in contact every single day, on the phone all the time, and talking for hours. I informed her I was married within a few days of meeting her, and she has been respectable about that. She always tried to keep our relationship just friendly, as I did. But in hindsight, both her and I expressed thoughts of a more than friendly relationship every now and then. When we talked about that, it really resonated in my mind and was a turning point where I started to think that maybe we could actually have something. Maybe she was my soulmate, and how was I going to let the perfect woman slip past me when I was in a poor relationship with my wife? This girl gave me happiness and joy that I hadn't experienced from my wife in years. I began a vicious cycle of questioning every memory I had from my marriage. Was I really in love with my wife? Was I wrong about the whole situation with my wife? I never met anyone before my wife I had feelings for, so was this what true love was? I mean, if my wife loved me, why wouldn't she give me the attention this girl would? She would send me photos of her occasionally, never anything sexual, always appropriate, and I also found her very physically attractive. I never intentionally let on that I wanted anything more than a friendship, but I know that I unintentionally dropped hints. I fell into a deep depression and this crazy anxiety where all I could think about was kicking my wife to the side and dedicating my life to this girl. But I kept my morals about me and fought these feelings back the best I could. I couldn't understand why my brain would betray me. Why would my brain desire this girl so badly when I only knew her for a few months? I wanted to die to end the pain. I couldn't face the fact that I wouldn't have this girl permanently in my life as more than a friend. I was torn between the mother of my children, whom I've known for almost a decade, and this girl who I've only known for months. I chose the logical path of my wife and resigned myself to this perpetual pain, telling myself I couldn't betray my wife and I needed to be a friend to this girl. I mean, I injected myself into her life. How can I hurt her by just stopping contact with her? Anyway, he goes on to say that he told this person that he wanted to take a break, that he needed to get some mental clarity, that he was starting to repair his marriage and he was having good feelings about his wife again, and on. It was just something that he explored, and now he feels bad about it, and he just feels like he needs to focus on his wife again. But now he has this people-pleasing dysfunction that if this girl said, I just want to keep in touch with you, he probably would because he doesn't want to hurt her feelings. It goes on and on. It's a long email, and I don't mean to laugh about it. It's serious, but It's a template for a lot of people. A lot of people have gone through this. And he's asked me, how can I push away this other woman when the only reason she has a friendship with me is totally my fault? These are consistent thoughts I have floating around in my brain, and I'm so lost. I need closure with this woman, but I don't think I can say what needs to be said. I'm going to need to hurt someone else to make my own brain happy, but I feel like I'm going to mess it up. I can't trust my own thought process anymore. I don't even know if telling a stranger about this will even put my mind at ease, him telling me. I have sought counsel from a few therapists in my area, but everyone I see comes across as self-righteous know-it-alls. Okay, all right, well, maybe those are the wrong counselors. The only advice I get from them is to call and just tell her my real feelings and how I can't separate lust and friendship from her. I don't think I agree with that, but let me continue here. But the approach they tell me to take is always just do it. But it's so hard when I don't trust my thoughts and I have so little confidence. If you could shed some light on what would be a good way to handle this for me, I will be so grateful. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I just need the tools to understand what I actually want to do in this situation. All I want to do is be happy and be satisfied with my overwhelmed brain again. Thank you so much for what you do, and I appreciate your time. All right, thank you for sharing all of that. Like I said, it was a lot longer, but I wanted to condense it here and read a lot of it as well, because like I said, this is a template for what a lot of people have gone through. They're in a marriage, the marriage isn't going great, they find emotional support from somebody else, that emotional support gets more involved, now they have feelings because this other person is fulfilling emotional needs that his wife, for example, isn't fulfilling. A lot of people go through this, and I started talking about emotional affairs and emotional infidelity in the last segment, and right off the bat, absolutely 100%, this is an emotional affair. This is a betrayal of the trust and the bond of the relationship. I don't say that to be mean to this person who wrote. I don't say it to call him out because he's calling himself out. He didn't call it an emotional betrayal or an affair, but I did. I just want that to be known because when you give your time and energy that would normally go to the romantic partner in your life to someone else, then you are betraying the boundaries or the values of the relationship and certainly the trust that you would hope to have in a romantic relationship. Now, there's a couple things that I will call this person out on because I like to see all sides of this, and we'll start with his side. His side is I'm having trouble in my marriage. I'm feeling not so intimate or romantic or whatever toward my wife anymore. And I found someone that I can share and express to, that I can connect with, that he didn't say this, but he probably doesn't feel judged. He probably doesn't feel criticized. He probably doesn't feel belittled. There's a lot of things that he doesn't feel, which is why this other relationship is so appealing. And from what he wrote, he never met this other woman physically, but it was an online thing and an on-the-phone thing, so there was certainly a relationship going on. It's not a full physical relationship, but this is where the emotional affair part comes in, is that you are having a relationship with someone else when you are in a relationship with this person, the person that you're with. So the emotional affair starts when you're getting your needs met, or at least emotional needs met, by someone else, and you feel better talking to the other person than you do your romantic partner. And when you feel better and you're putting all that time and energy into them, you know, it's not always an emotional affair just because you feel better, but that's one of the components of the emotional affair, is that you are feeling better by talking to this other person. You're getting a lot more needs met. And this isn't necessarily just a friend, because I wonder if he would feel the same way if it was somebody that A, he wasn't attracted to, and B, wasn't his sexual preference. Probably not. You know, we can create friends, but when the person is sort of a replacement for the person that you're with, then it starts to cross the line of emotional infidelity. So one of the things I'm going to call him out on at first is that he said, where did he say it? He said that he informed her he was married within a few days of meeting her, And she's been respectable about that. And she's always tried to keep their relationship as just friendly. So I'm going to say, when you say you're married and she kept things respectable, it sounds like you already knew that there was a line being crossed, that you were having feelings, that these feelings were developing sooner than later. And you told her you're married, but it didn't really matter. And I hope you understand what I mean by that. It's like you're telling somebody you're married, but you're still pursuing a friendship with someone who you feel like they may be a soulmate. This is where I'm calling you out to say, at this point, you should have stopped communication and backed off and said, whoa, this feels a little too close. And now it's interfering with my relationship. Not that my relationship is great in the first place, but now this is what I want in a relationship. And I'm starting to have feelings about it, especially if you call someone your soulmate. That's feelings. You're having feelings there. So this is the point where you stop and you say, whoa, I need to take a break from this right away. You didn't, and you admit that you didn't, and you look back and you say you should have done it. And, you know, kudos to you for understanding what you did, that you could have done better, or what you shouldn't have done, and regret it and have feelings about that too. But I'm speaking about your story on this episode because if anyone goes through this, as soon as you start having feelings about someone that you can sort of justify in a way of, hey, if my partner suddenly died tomorrow, would this person be a good fit? If the answer is, well, yes, then you might say to yourself, oh, this is probably a relationship that's developing a little too close, and I need to back off because I need to figure out what I'm doing in my own life first. I need to figure out what my relationship is all about before I ever go in that direction. If that didn't make sense, let me give you a real world example. When I was married, there was a girl that I knew that I had seen at work a few times, and I thought she was attractive. I thought she was pretty attractive and fun, and she wasn't anything I would ever pursue, but we got along. And I never thought twice about her, but one day she was in, I forget, she left and then she came back. She came to town and she was at this hotel and she invited me over and said, let's, you know, hang out. I'm in town and let's have a drink or something. And again, totally friendly. I've never crossed the line at all. And so I showed up at the hotel and we went to the bar and we had a drink. Then we came back to the hotel. And at that point, I was starting to feel a little weird. I was starting to feel like, here I am in this hotel room with an attractive woman, and this is not right. This is not right. This doesn't feel good to me, because I was starting to feel a little bit engaged. I was starting to feel like there might be a connection here, and this is not good, because I don't want to be in this situation where I'm having feelings about this person. Not that I couldn't control myself, but I'm having these feelings. I'm married and I don't want to have these feelings when I'm married. And as soon as I felt that way, I mean, we were talking and getting along. As soon as I felt that way, I said, I gotta go. That's what I said. I said, I gotta go. I can't stay here. And she's like, what do you mean you gotta go? And I said, I gotta go. I'm sorry. I can't stay. I have to leave. We'll talk again some other time. And she's asking me, what? Why are you leaving? And I don't even know if she had the same feelings. There was no indication that she was trying to come on to me or anything, but I knew I was having those feelings. And if I'm having those feelings being married, that's a problem, because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy who has these feelings that I might want to connect with someone. And here I am in the perfect location, the perfect storm of events that occurred. Here I am, and I thought, this is wrong. This is not good. And I said, I have to go. And she was confused. And I opened the hotel room door, and I said, I'm sorry. We'll talk again some other time. And I shut the door, and she's like, wait. But she didn't follow me. She just was confused. I had to be the bad guy. And I mean, I wasn't the bad guy. I was the good guy, because I left a situation that would have messed up my marriage and made me a dishonest person. I didn't want to be any of those things. So I decided to leave. And I never, ever talked to her again. I never reached out again because I didn't want to have those feelings. I don't know if that sounds immature to some people. I don't know what people might think about that. This is the show where you get to judge Paul all you want. But this is what I did. I was in that situation. I didn't like the way I felt and I left. And she, I'm sure she has told people, I don't know what the hell was wrong with Paul that day. There's something up with him and he was just weird. He was freaking out on me. And quite honestly, I don't care what she thought about me. I look back at that day and I know I made the right decision to leave. And this is what I'm saying is that as soon as I felt something that was going to compromise the integrity of the relationship that I was in, even if that relationship was rocky, I'm not saying my marriage was rocky at that point, but let's just say it was. Even if I had the worst relationship ever, was I going to compromise the relationship or break the boundaries of the relationship or destroy the commitment that I had made to this person? No, I chose not to do that. And it was the right choice for me. And I'm glad I did it because had I stayed and crossed the line, there's a whole world of mess and guilt and just there's so much more to deal with when the line is crossed. Let alone, and this is really my main point, why am I having these feelings in the first place? I know there are people listening right now saying, well, what about, you know, you're not even supposed to have those feelings. Don't you love your wife? Yes, I did. I loved my wife, and I should have had those kinds of feelings for her. So the question came in my mind, why am I not having those kinds of feelings for my wife? So that came to my mind. Why am I not having these feelings for my wife? This is not the kind of feelings I want for any other person. I should have them for my wife. So I left that hotel, and I even told my wife, I was like, you know, I was in this hotel with this girl that she knows who this girl was. And I said, I just started feeling uncomfortable, like I shouldn't be there. And I had to leave. And we didn't really get into it too much, but I think she appreciated that. I think she said that if it felt weird to you or something, then that's a good idea that you left. I'm glad you did. And I forget exactly what we talked about. But from that point on, if those feelings ever started for anyone else again, it was time to redirect my focus back to me and, of course, my relationship. That's where you need to put your focus when your feelings start developing for someone else. You need to stop yourself in your tracks and then put the focus back to what needs to be either addressed, invigorated, reinvigorated, readdressed, or go back to the relationship you're in and ask yourself if you're going to work on this relationship or you're going to stop this relationship. I think you need to get to a place where you're specific about what's going to happen in the current relationship you're in. Because that's what I did. Am I going to work on this relationship and work on the feelings that I had for this other person? Or am I going to say, hey, my relationship isn't working. I need to stop this current relationship that I'm in, get a separation, get a divorce, whatever that is, so that I can pursue someone else or figure out what I want in my life and then pursue it. But the point is, I'm closing one thing before opening another thing. And that's important. I think it's important to close one thing, especially a relationship that you've made commitments in, before you pursue another thing. And I know this is a common knowledge. Of course, you're supposed to stop the relationship you're in before you get into another one. That's the general rule. Otherwise, you're cheating, unless it's been talked about, unless there's some other circumstance going on. But for the most part, I believe it's important that when you start developing thoughts and feelings towards someone else, that you redirect your focus and attention on what you have today in front of you and get some closure on that. And this is where I tell this person who wrote, that's what you should have done right up front. And what you should have done is ask yourself questions like, what do I get from this person that I don't get from my wife? What kind of feelings am I feeling with this person that I'm not feeling with my wife? What can I tell this person that I don't feel safe telling my wife? What does this person do for me that my wife doesn't? Those are important questions because as soon as you answer those questions, the answers give you something to talk about with your wife. That's what needs to be talked about. And it will help you understand what's been missing from your relationship. Those things that you're getting from someone else have been missing from your relationship. So you have to ask yourself those questions and find out if you can fulfill those things in your life so that you can have a great relationship. And from this person's message, they said, you know, our relationship is starting to get better and better. So I would ask you, what did this person do that your wife didn't? Because he said his wife wasn't supportive, and maybe this other person was supportive. So that would be something that you talk to your wife about and be very clear and very serious and say, you know, we started going downhill because I felt no support from you. And I really need to feel the support from my wife. I really need your support. And hopefully she'll say, of course, I want to support you. Great. Let's talk about this, or let's work on this together. That's how these things are rebuilt in a relationship, is you figure out what another person is doing to fulfill you when you have these feelings for another person, and you bring the answers to those questions back into your relationship so that you can start creating a better relationship. Or you discover that your existing relationship isn't working and it won't fulfill you. Because if it won't, then the only fair thing to do, even though it feels mean or it feels hurtful, if you've tried everything, if you've tried talking with each other, had couples counseling, if you've exhausted all your resources and you still can't get fulfilled the way you can with somebody else, and you don't think you'll be happy with your existing relationship, then it's not fair to expose that person to your unhappiness. And I know that sounds a little strange, but if you bring your unhappiness into the relationship because that person can't meet your criteria or your standards or fulfill certain components of your life, and you'll never feel as happy as you could be, and you'll always think that there's something missing, then you're going to bring that type of energy into the relationship. If there's something always missing, then the relationship itself will never feel as satisfying as you want it to be. This doesn't mean if you're not getting all your needs met that the relationship won't work, because some people can be in a relationship like this where they're not getting all their needs met, but everything else works so great that it works. And there's no reason to leave, even though you could have more needs fulfilled, but this person isn't capable of it. And hopefully you have some sort of conversation of the needs you have so that you can work things out. But that's what I was talking about earlier. Sometimes you have to have these hard conversations that are risky, that make you think that if I bring it up, they're going to yell at me or want to leave me. And you get to find out if they're in alignment with you, because if you bring it up and they can't stand what you're saying or can't stand what you're asking, then maybe they aren't in alignment with you. And if they're not in alignment with you, then maybe it's not meant to work out. What I mean by that is that if you're not on the same page, then usually a relationship that's not on the same page has a lot of struggle. There's a lot of difficulty. So there's that part of this that I wanted to say. And let me come to the other part of this, which are his questions, where he says, how can I increase my confidence to make the correct choice in the situation? How can I push away this other woman when the only reason she has a friendship with me is totally my fault? These are the consistent thoughts I have floating around in my brain, and I'm so lost. I need closure with this person, but I don't think I can say what needs to be said. I'm going to need to hurt someone else to make my own brain happy, but I feel like I'm going to mess it up. I think the very first thing you need to do is ask yourself, what do you want? Well, I want my wife. I think it's going to work out. I want my wife, but I don't want to hurt this other person's feeling. Well, I know what you don't want. You don't want to hurt this other person's feelings, but what you want, it sounds like, is to work things out with your wife. So now you know what you want. You know you want to grow and nurture the relationship that you're in. Great. So what you do from this point on is take away anything that takes your time and energy away from growing and nurturing the relationship. And you're saying, you know this. I just don't want to mess it up. It's fair to say to someone, I messed up. I shouldn't have pursued a relationship with you or a connection with you of any kind, because I really should have been focusing on my marriage. I screwed up. I am sorry. I can't communicate with you anymore because I need to put all my focus, all my time and energy into my marriage because I love my wife. That's it. That's all you have to say. It sounds cold and your people pleaser is going to hate it, but sometimes we have to do things we hate because we made the mess in the first place. So you made the mess. You got to clean it up. And the only way to clean it up is that someone has to get hurt when you create such a triangle. Someone will get hurt. And I believe the person that needs to get hurt right now, and this is going to sound terrible, is you. You need to feel the pain of ending relationships with people that you know will get hurt when you end them. If you need to end a relationship that will interfere with your thoughts about your marriage, about your wife, if you need to end that, then you need to end it. And it's not a matter of trusting or having confidence. It's nothing like that at all. You just have to do it. There's no thought about it. You just have to do it because it interferes with what you want. And you want to work on your marriage. You want to work on things. You want to get things straightened out. And so if you're serious about that, you have to make serious decisions. You have to make, don't take this the wrong way, adult decisions. An adult decision is a decision that might be hard, but you do it anyway. You might be afraid, but you do it anyway. It might hurt someone's feelings, but you have to do it anyway. Because what's most important is A, everything's on the table so everyone knows what they have to work with. If you string this other person along because you don't want to hurt her feelings, then you're not only doing a disservice, you will probably make her feel worse overall. Because she'll think there's a chance. You can't leave any loops open. You can't let people think there's a chance when that chance doesn't exist. Now, if you think in your mind, well, if my marriage doesn't work out, maybe I should leave this open, then you need more time. You need to prepare. You need to get away from this other person, look at your marriage seriously, and ask yourself if this is what you want. You need to come to that conclusion first. And from your letter, it sounds like this is what you want. You want to make your marriage work. And because of that, that's where your focus needs to be. And you need to close the door on anything that distracts you from that focus. Because when you close the door, you open the door wide to help your marriage grow and evolve into what it needs to be. So that you're connected again. So that you're in love again. So that you're doing things together again and you feel supported and loved and both of you can walk into the sunset holding hands. So when you say, I know I should just call her and explain myself, but historically when I put situations like that, I break down and become a people pleaser. So when you say that, I forget if I read this originally, but you said that you break down and become a people pleaser who puts everyone's happiness before my own. I want you to utilize that dysfunction to the fullest. I want you to people please your wife because you've made a choice to make your marriage work. And if you want to put someone else's happiness before your own, put your wife's. Because here's the thing, if you were at a restaurant with your wife and someone attractive walked in and came up to you and said, I would like us to be a couple, you know, and you're thinking, what? Who is this woman? And she's saying it right in front of your wife. I would hope that you stand up to this other person and say, get the hell out of here because I love my wife and I would do anything for my wife and you're nothing to me. And you can't mess that up because I've got something great going on here. So you need to leave. And I know it's a different scenario because this other woman, you've been nice to her, but it's inappropriate. You created this inappropriate mess and now you got to clean it up. And that means you have to bite the bullet and stop communicating with her. Don't worry about her. She has got her own life. She is making her own decisions. She knew she was getting involved with a married man, and she now has to deal with that decision and what happens when you do get involved with a married person. So that will be her challenge, and you have your own challenges, and you need to focus on those challenges. So I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just telling you to do it. I'm just telling you to give her the news that you won't be talking to her anymore. You don't even have to explain too much. You just say, you know what? I made a mistake. I love my wife. I'm so sorry, but I can't talk to you anymore. I'm sorry. You just move on from there. You just close the door. It sounds so cold. It sounds so heartless. But Paul, they've been friends for so long. No, they've been in an inappropriate relationship. She has been the other woman, and the other woman takes a big risk by being the other woman if she falls in love or whatever. But this is a good lesson for you, the person who wrote, that real feelings are involved, and when you haven't closed one door, you can't open two doors and then try to figure things out as you go. And because you made that mess, you have to clean up that mess, and there will be pain for you to do that. And there's always going to be somebody that's feeling the pain, usually two people in a triangle like this. And let me just address one more thing that you said. The only advice that you've gotten from the therapist is just to tell this other woman your real feelings and how you can't separate lust from friendship with her. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think that has to be in the conversation. I think the conversation has to be, I love my wife. I can't talk to you anymore. I'm very sorry. I wish you the best. Good luck to you. And I didn't know what I was doing. And again, I'm sorry. And I gotta go. Bye. You know, use your own words there. But you don't have to get into, I can't tell lust from friendship. You don't have to do that at all. I mean, you probably did feel lust. You probably felt feelings that you haven't had in a long time or never because this is your first relationship and that's the only time you felt that way. But I don't think there needs to be an open dialogue about the psychological reasons that you connected. I think just giving her, the other person, closure and why you're closing the door, it will be hard. She may not understand. She may not like it, but it's the truth. And it's so much easier to tell someone the truth than to paint it with any fluffy language. And what I mean by that is just to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I really do love my wife. Or I learned that I do want to save my marriage. And I made a mistake with you. I shouldn't have done this. And I know it's going to hurt. And I'm so sorry. And I know I'm repeating myself. But you just move on. You just go on. I'm all about putting all the facts on the table and letting things fall where they may, because everyone has to figure out their own life. And like you said, you're a people pleaser. Listen to my episodes on people pleasing. You may have already done that, but definitely people pleasing will get you into trouble. If you don't like confrontation and you're not giving people the whole truth, then they don't know the whole truth. And in this case, she thinks there might still be a chance. You're just stringing her along, which is not nice. So it's time to move on from that. And you did say the therapist told you to just do it. I don't know what just do it means to them or you, but I say, yes, just do it, but make sure there's full closure. Make sure there's no question. When I shut that hotel room door and left, there was no question I was closing that door forever. And maybe it was unfair that I didn't tell her why I was leaving exactly, but it was just a can of worms that I did not want to open and make it all weird and awkward. I just said, you know, I got to go. I shouldn't be here. And then I closed the door. I know people are going to write to me and say, hey, you shouldn't have just left. You should have explained. I know, maybe I should have, but then I'm in another conversation and I'm staying longer. I just did what I had to do to close that chapter of my life and figure out what I needed to work on in my marriage. So thank you for writing. I spent a lot of time on this subject today, but I hope it has helped. I hope it's been of value to you. My goal with any type of relationship issue is to put things in a linear order. And what I mean by that, because he wrote, it's so hard when I don't trust my thoughts and I have so little confidence, you know, in my decision making. You need to put things in a linear order and ask the biggest questions first. Do I want to save my marriage? That's the first question. That's the first thing in line. So the first thing in line is yes or no. You got to figure out that yes or no first. Okay, yes, I want to save my marriage. Okay, great. Now take this yes into the next thing in line. Now that I know I want to save my marriage and I want to work on my marriage, will keeping this other relationship help me do the first thing in line? The answer is no. Keeping this other woman in the relationship that you've had feelings for, that you are connecting with in ways that are inappropriate, no. So now that you know that, you got one is yes, number two is no. Now that I know that I can't have this woman in my life anymore, what do I need to do to make that happen? That's the next linear step. You know, when I say linear, it's just things are in a line. One, two, three, take the most important first, then take the second thing and put that in the line, then take the third thing you need to do and put that in the line, and these things will be different depending on the answer. Well, I need to tell her that I can't communicate with her anymore. Great. So that's the next thing. You put that into number four. Now that I know I need to stop communicating with her, what do I need to do to make that happen? And this is the part where you think, oh, I don't want to hurt her feelings, but what do I need to do? Oh, I guess I got to tell her I can't communicate with her anymore. But I don't trust myself and I know I'm going to hurt her feelings. Yes, that may be true, but all this is a logical series of questions and answers that you take into the next step. Step four is, how do I do it? Well, I guess I have to call her and tell her. Okay. It's not a matter of trusting yourself or having confidence in your decisions. It's just the next logical thing you have to do in order to support the first thing in line. I hope that makes sense. There's a lot more we could talk about on this subject, and clearly I could probably go all day talking about this, but you probably have things to do too. So I'm going to let you go. So glad that you were here today. When I come back, I'm going to give you my thank yous and my goodbyes. I want to thank this person who wrote. I hope you are in a better space today and that you have done what you needed to do to get through this. I hope you have been listening to my People Pleaser podcast so you don't carry around a fear of confrontation. And I hope my perspective has been helpful. Thanks for joining me. I'll give you my thank yous and my goodbyes and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I'm going to remind you, if you need one-on-one counseling, go to betterhelp.com/brain and get 10% off your first month today from this excellent service. I also want to thank the financial backers this week, the patrons of the week, I call them. Andrea, Fuang, Christy, Leela, Monica, Linda, Deborah, you're back, but you never left. It's a little inside joke between me and Deborah. Vanessa, Veronica, Lucy, Holly, Adriana, Julia, and Chelsea, and our monthly donation from Walter. Thank you all so much for contributing to the show, keeping us moving, keeping us going, keeping the lights on. I appreciate all of you. If you find value in the show and you'd like to give back, head over to moretob.com and you can join the monthly patron program or you can give a one-time donation. Totally up to you. If you want to do that, head over to moretob.com. Also want to remind you of what I said at the very beginning. I have another podcast called Love and Abuse over at loveandabuse.com. You know, sometimes relationships are difficult. Sometimes we do have problems in relationships. Like this person who wrote in the second segment, he said, you know, his wife wasn't supportive and she became, I guess, manipulative and maybe hurtful in some ways. And so it might have been helpful for him to listen to some of Love and Abuse to find out what was going on, to find out if she was actually being emotionally abusive or was something else happening. You know, not every bad behavior in a relationship is emotional abuse. Sometimes it's just somebody trying to get their needs met and not knowing how to get their needs met. So there are ways that you can work with that and try to figure that out. And I talk about all that on the Love and Abuse podcast over at loveandabuse.com. But if you know you're a difficult person and you know you've been emotionally abusive or controlling or manipulative, I highly recommend you head over to healedbeing.com, where I offer a program for emotionally abusive people that want to change. I was there once. I was emotionally abusive. I admit it. I talk about it in my lessons over in that program. And I share with you everything I've learned, not only through my own healing, but through my work with emotionally abusive relationships, both the recipients of emotionally abusive behavior and the perpetrators of emotionally abusive behavior. I try to help both sides if they want to be helped. Most of the time, yes, the victims of emotional abuse want to be helped or at least want guidance of some sort or don't want to be in that situation anymore. And the people that have reached out to me and said, I am an emotionally abusive person, I don't want to be, they want help. They clearly want help because they're reaching out, admitting that they do this behavior, and now they want to change it. So if that's you, head over to healedbeing.com. And of course, there are people that don't want to change. There's not much I can do for them. There's not much anybody can do for them. They have to want to do it. They have to know that they're being hurtful, and they have to want to change. If that's you, healedbeing.com is the website. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. You know, I mentioned the linear order of things in a relationship. When you are in a relationship, it is very helpful to put things, or sometimes it's very helpful to put things in a linear order so that you understand what will work and what won't. And what I mean by that is, at the beginning of the relationship I'm in now, my girlfriend had a lot of trust issues. She didn't trust me, not because of my past. I told her everything. I told her everything, how I used to be, what I've done, everything. And so she didn't have a reason not to trust me, except for the fact that she didn't know me very well. And she had some PTSD from other relationships where trust was a big issue. And so it took her a while to learn to trust me. I mean, a long time, several months, almost a year, to really fully trust me. And that was hard for me because I had done a lot of healing. I've gotten to a place that I really felt good about myself and how I was showing up. And I was being totally honest and just putting myself out there, being very transparent, very vulnerable. And here is this person that doesn't trust me, or at least fully. She trusted me enough so that we lived together, but there's a lot of stuff that she had to get over. And so that bothered me. I was like, why can't you trust me? We've been together for so long. So we had conversations about trust and how much it bothered me that she didn't trust me. And she said, I can't help it. It's just something that I don't have full trust. It's not really you. It's just I don't really trust men in general, or something like that. So I had these thoughts in my head, like, can I be with someone who doesn't trust me? And so this became the first big thing in my linear order of things. I needed to put this first and foremost because trust is one of my biggest values in my relationships. I need to have trust. I need to have honesty. I need to have respect. I need to have a bunch of stuff that I feel are important in a relationship for a relationship to work for me. And so trust is right up there. So I have trust right in my face as number one in the linear order of things of a relationship. And if I can't get closure on this trust thing, how am I going to get to number two? Because number two is like a deep connection, or supporting each other, or like I said, respect, and maybe having fun together, and love and sex and all this other stuff. How do I get to number two if I can't get past number one? If number one is trust and I'm not getting that, will the other ones in line matter? I can't get past number one. Will those other things matter? So I was really stuck on number one for several months. And I finally came to the conclusion that what she already told me, it really wasn't me that she didn't trust. It was, like I said, probably men in general, or the idea that somebody could turn on a dime. You know, she's been in relationships where somebody just switched. They turned into something else. And so I can understand how trust might not be there. And here I am in the relationship. Everything else seems to be going great, yet she doesn't trust fully. And so I had to come to terms with that in myself. And I asked myself, if everything else is great and she doesn't necessarily trust everything about this relationship or about me because of her past, can I be okay with it? I had to reach closure. I had to get to that place inside of myself so that I could get to number two. If I can't get to number two, the relationship's not going to work because I was still stuck on number one. So I put this trust thing in the number one spot, and I asked myself, can I be okay in this relationship if there's still a trust issue? And I finally said, everything else is so great. This trust thing doesn't seem to be a problem in getting my needs met. This trust thing doesn't seem to be a problem anywhere except a small part of my life. And I honestly believed, and it worked out thankfully, that she will eventually trust me 100% if I continue showing up in an authentic way, showing her that there's no reason not to trust me. So I got past number one by saying, yes, I'll be okay if this doesn't change. And yes, I'm going to be okay because I know this will eventually change. So I decided that I could close the door on number one and not have to think about it anymore and just go right past it, you know, push it aside. Number one, done. Good. I got past the trust thing. And what is the second thing? I forget what we were working on next. I don't remember, but that's what I was doing. I was putting things in order of the biggest issues first, and then the second biggest issue and the third biggest issue. And we didn't really have big issues at all. We had what my girlfriend calls a glitch-free relationship. Yes, we have some arguments. Yes, we get into heated conversations. But even that, I just think that things have shifted for the better each and every year we've been together, because we always work on stuff and we're always honest with each other. And just like I said before, sometimes you have to be honest even at the risk of the relationship. If I'm telling my girlfriend that I'm not feeling love from her, we're going to have an honest conversation about it. She may say, "What? I love you. You're crazy. Don't be an idiot." And we'll have a conversation about it, which is great. "I love you. You're an idiot. Shut up." So I will just deal with it that way, and we'll have an honest conversation about it. But, you know, if I'm feeling something or I'm thinking something, I'm going to bring it up. I'm not going to think, "Oh, no, I'm not feeling love. Where else can I get it?" That's not going to be my go-to, because this door in my relationship is still open. It's still going on. So I either want to figure this out or close the door on the relationship because I can't get past number two, for example. "Oh no, I can't get love. How do I get past number two?" Well, I guess I won't, and I'll go seek love somewhere else or get my emotional needs fulfilled somewhere else. And that's when we get into trouble. That's when we start creating a mess in our life, because we're introducing elements into a system that's supposed to be closed. You know, our life is about these relationships and we've made these commitments. So it's sort of a closed system. Nobody should be able to interfere with these relationships. But as soon as we open that system and allow somebody else into that system, now we have this fifth wheel in there. There's another gear that's moving that we don't know how to necessarily fit in there. So we have to create this separate machine with its separate maintenance and separate problems. And how do we deal with two machines now? I got this one machine going on over here and this machine that I've been working on for years and years. You can tell there's a lot of problems that can start to result from that. And it's just not sustainable. I mean, when you have a normally closed system like a relationship and you open it to another relationship, it doesn't usually sustain itself. There's usually a big problem. There's a breakdown. When the breakdown happens, people get hurt. This is why I like to have one machine running at a time. This is the machine I got to work on. And if I can't fix it, it's just going to have to break down and I'm going to have to move on. And I very much simplified that. Of course, you exhaust every resource to fix the machine or the relationships that you're in. And if it doesn't work out, then you might have to move on. You might have to do something else. But try not to do too many other things before you've exhausted every effort on what you've got. And then when you've exhausted all your effort, then you have some sense of closure. And then you might be able to move on to the next thing. But as you can tell from the person who wrote and from many stories that you've heard about or maybe even been a part of yourself, we all know what happens and the hurt that can be experienced when you start to go outside of the relationship to get your needs fulfilled by someone else. It can be a very challenging time, and why put yourself through it? Why add that stress in your life? It's not worth it, and I think you know that. But if you don't, that's why I created this show. That's why I made this for you. I hope this has been helpful at some level for you. Thank you so much for joining me. Always remember to keep an open mind, because that's how you step into your power and create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.